AFA founder Don Wildman was a visionary. He saw the negative influence the movie and TV industries had on society and knew their technology could be used as tools to counteract the evil taking over our culture. That vision is realized in American Family Studios. We're committed to producing feature films, animated series, and documentaries that glorify God by upholding His standards. Find out how AFS can impact your family and friends at AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning, and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a good Wednesday morning so far. It is raining cats and dogs in Texarkana, Texas. It was raining yesterday, raining today, and hopefully we'll see the end of the rain today, and it'll be sunny tomorrow. But Debbie and I have four inside dogs, and one big dog, Ellie Mae. She's about 80 pounds, a golden doodle. And she loves to run and get out in the backyard. And anybody who has dogs, especially big dogs, know that it's a mess when it's rainy and muddy. You got to watch them like a hawk, otherwise they get it all over the couch and things. So Debbie has been AWOL the last several weeks. She got sick, and then she's been working a lot at From His Heart. She kind of runs the office at From His Heart Ministries, and just lots going on. So for some of you who are wondering, where's Debbie been? She'll be back, just not this week. So that's kind of a bummer with Valentine's Day being Friday. And so there's just a heads up. You may want to go out today and get a card. Think about what kind of gift you're going to get for your sweetheart, because Friday is coming fast. Well, I want to talk today about deception. You know, we live in a world of lies. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, as the scripture says. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, he is a liar and the father of lies. Whenever he speaks a lie, because that's his nature, as a liar and the father of lies. And the Bible tells us four different times in the New Testament, do not be deceived. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, don't be deceived about who enters heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Who you hang out with makes a big difference. wisdom rubs off when you hang out with wise men. As it says in Proverbs, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Wisdom rubs off, and so does stupid, so do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So don't be deceived there. You will reap what you sow. And then James 1:16, as it talks about temptation, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. When lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived. Don't play around with sin, because sin always brings death. Death to purity, death to the plan of God in your life, death to wholesomeness and blessing. And you're not going to experience the fruit of the Spirit if you're playing around with sin. You're going to experience the deeds of the flesh, and you're going to sow to the flesh, and from the flesh you'll reap corruption. So over and over again, do not be deceived, do not be deceived, do not be deceived. Now Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, as he ends it up, you know, the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. He says this toward the end in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They're coming in deception. You know, the devil never comes to you as the devil. He disguises himself as an angel of light, and so do his emissaries. They're never going to tell you that they are deceiving you. Evil men and imposters, the Bible says, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. They get caught up in a loop where they believe their own baloney, but they're deceivers, and they're deceiving their listeners, and they're in turn being deceived as they start to believe that they are the Christ, or that they have the answers, or that everything they say is right, and that kind of thing. So beware of the false prophets, because they're going to deceive you. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They present themselves one way, but they're not that way. Inwardly are ravenous wolves, and ravenous wolves tear apart the sheep. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Rhetorical question. Of course not. You don't get grapes from thorn bushes. What do you get from thorn bushes? Thorns. So he says, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now, as we look out on the landscape of America, we have a big brouhaha in America right now. Trump was elected, and the people that hate Trump, less than half of the voters, obviously, because he won the popular vote. But there are people that hate Trump. Trump is not a person that people don't really have feelings for one way or the other. There's like, nah, no. People either like Trump or you really don't like Trump. And those who are in the camp of, I really hate the guy, they call him all kinds of terrible, horrible names. A Nazi, he's a fascist, he's Hitler, he's, whatever. As one guy told me, he is the Antichrist, which really reveals his poor eschatology. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. We're not going to know who the Antichrist is. As my friend Dr. Ed Heinsohn, who's in heaven now, he used to say, hey, if you're on the lookout for the Antichrist and you find out who it is, guess what? You miss the rapture, because the Antichrist will not be revealed until God takes his people out at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, John chapter 14, when the Lord said to his disciples, do not... what does he say? I'm going off memory here. It'll come to me in a second. I may have to look it up. Sometimes, as my friend Olin Owens says, Olin's 87, he said, I had a senior moment. I hit a slick spot. Do not let your heart be troubled. That's what it is. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, not mansions, but dwelling places, apartments. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way where I am going. Now, the Lord said to his disciples, after he told them he was leaving, he said, now I'm going away, but I'm going to come back and get you and take you to the Father's house, and that where I am, there you may be also. Well, when does that happen if you don't have a pre-tribulation rapture? You say, well, it could be a mid-tribulation rapture. Okay, you can have, that could take place at a mid-tribulation rapture, although I don't believe that. You definitely can't have that happen at a post-tribulation rapture. Because at the end of the tribulation, Jesus comes back. He sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. He battles the Antichrist. And so we have this event that's fleshed out more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but where the Lord comes to take away his own to the Father's house, so that where he is, we can be there with him. Well, we call that the rapture of the church and the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 19. So the idea that Trump is the Antichrist does not compute. It can't fit. And the Antichrist is not going to be doing the things that Trump is going to be doing. The Antichrist is going to be a one-world leader, and the Antichrist is going to mark everybody with 666 on your right hand or on your forehead. And unless you get the mark of the beast and bow your allegiance to the Antichrist, he's going to kill you. And so the death count under the reign of Antichrist is going to be unbelievable. He will be like a Hitler, but when he comes on the scene, as Adrian Rogers used to say, he's going to make Hitler look like a Boy Scout. So you will know them by their fruits. Now, we have a battle in America today between Republicans and Democrats, and Trump campaigned on the fact that if you elect me to be the 47th president, I'm going to bring Elon Musk along. And Elon Musk, who is probably one of the smartest men who ever lived, I mean, he has done better than anyone has ever done in business, amassed this massive amount of wealth. I think his wealth is somewhere around $300 billion or more. And Elon is great, as we saw with when he bought Twitter. He's great at coming in and cutting all the fat and making the thing lean, mean, and a fighting machine. And so he is a champion of free speech. Well, he's coming in with his Department of Government Efficiency and looking at all our departments and running audits on the departments. That's the plan. Americans overwhelmingly are for that. But the Democrats are screaming from the housetops, this is a threat to democracy, a threat to democracy. We are, as I've been hearing on these different television outlets, media, legacy media, CNN, MSNBC, and PBS, all the liberal ones, they're using the same two words. We are in a constitutional crisis, constitutional crisis, constitutional crisis, constitutional crisis. Well, that's just a lie. And anyone, it floors me that you would have anyone that would say it is wrong for us to do an audit of these departments and see where the money is going. And so Elon Musk had a very interesting comment on this as far as, you know, the worn out phrase threat to democracy. You know, Trump is supposedly a threat to democracy. Here is what Elon Musk had to say just yesterday when he was with Trump in the Oval Office.
If there's not a good feedback loop from the people to the government, and if you have rule of the bureaucrat, if the bureaucracy is in charge, and then what meaning does democracy actually have? If the people cannot vote and have their will be decided by their elected representatives in the form of the president and the Senate and the House, then we don't live in a democracy, we live in a bureaucracy. So it's incredibly important that we close that feedback loop, we fix that feedback loop, and that the public's elected representatives, the president, the House, and the Senate, decide what happens, as opposed to a large unelected bureaucracy. This is not to say that there aren't some good, there are good people who are in the federal bureaucracy, but you can't have an autonomous federal bureaucracy. You have to have one that is responsive to the people. That's the whole point of a democracy. And if you asked the founders today and said, what do you think of the way things have turned out? Well, we have this unelected, fourth unconstitutional branch of government, which is the bureaucracy, which has, in a lot of ways, currently more power than any elected representative.
That's a good point that he brings up. And so we have to be able to look at that stuff. Now, here's John Kennedy. I think we can squeeze him in before the break. Here's what he had to say. I love him. He's the senator from Louisiana.
I'm unapologetically with Trump and Musk. Now, among the blue hairs and the opinion writers in Washington, we're losing. We're winning with the American people. And I think, Bill, it's the big picture should not go unnoticed. Some people, mostly my Democratic colleagues, have chosen to support the bureaucracy and the spending porn over the American taxpayer. These are the same folks who chose to support illegal immigration over the rule of law, who chose to support teachers' unions over schools and kids, who chose to support criminals over crime victims, who chose to support transgender athletes over women's sports, frankly, who chose to support Hamas over Israel. Now, they think they're winning. And they may be in the bubble of Washington, but not among the taxpayers. When they say, tell me, well, we think we're winning, I tell them, sure. And be on the lookout for flying pigs. I think the justice stick is coming, and I think the American people support everything we're doing.
I agree with John Kennedy there, and the American people want to know, how is my money being spent, and let's quit wasting it on these boondoggles and the corruption that we see being uncovered by the Department of Government Efficiency. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about this subject, do not be deceived, and we'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about do not be deceived. There are lots of deceivers out there and lots of deceivers in our world, and the worst deceivers are the ones who call themselves pastors and they deceive the flock, but we have lots of people in government who are deceiving, and people are buying it. You know, the devil is a master liar. He's not just a liar. He's a master liar. And he uses people to promote his lies. And the reason that his lies are often believed is because they sound good. They seem to connect with our sense of justice. You know, these people that are so against what is going on today with looking at USAID and saying, hey, we're wasting all this money. And no doubt you saw that the FEMA chief was let go because this lady let $59 million go to house illegal aliens in New York, and spending that on hotels. And she should have been removed from her position. She's let go for gross insubordination, and I think she ought to be prosecuted for theft. She stole $59 million that belongs to the taxpayers and gave it to illegal aliens. That's not what what FEMA is supposed to do. FEMA doesn't exist to help illegal aliens stay in this country illegally for free. And you don't get that. I don't get that. We don't get that. The people of North Carolina who lost everything in Hurricane Helene, they sure didn't get that. And so she should have been fired. But people, you know, you just have this this hue and cry from the left. Oh, how dare Trump do that? Now, I have found that TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, somebody made that up and as a joke, but it seems to be a real thing. But here's the deal. If you think Trump is a Nazi, if you think he's Hitler, if you think he's the Antichrist, well, then how could he ever do anything that would be good? I mean, he could single-handedly save a busload of school children from falling off a cliff, and somehow that's going to be a negative. because he's the Antichrist. And so the Antichrist can't do anything right. I mean, the devil is always the devil, right? And so the Antichrist is the devil in the flesh. And so there's always going to be something evil associated with that. Well, do not be deceived. You're going to know them by their fruits. I find this interesting, and Elon Musk has brought this out on his social media page. He's talking about these big name politicians, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren. You know, Elizabeth Warren is the one that claimed to be an American Indian, and it was proven that that was just a lie. And then she said, well, I was just told that as a child. That's what my grandfather told me, or our family would always say. There, it's like, oh, okay, your whole family's lying. But he cites these four people, and he says Nancy Pelosi has been a lifetime politician. Her salary was $223,000 per year, and her net worth is $202 million. Okay, so you can easily do the math. Now, $223,000 a year is not chump change, but it's probably not going to produce a net worth of $202 million. Mitch McConnell, his annual salary, $200,000. He has a net worth of $95 million, career politician. Chuck Schumer, $210,000 annual salary, and he's amassed a net worth of $75 million. Elizabeth Warren, $285,000, and has amassed a net worth of $67 million. And the question, and it's a legitimate question that we as Americans should be able to ask these people, how did you amass so much money when you weren't making that much money, relatively speaking? I looked at his post and some people commented on there and said, we need to look into Trump because Trump makes $400,000 a year and he has billions of dollars. Well, you got to be a moron not to know that Trump isn't a career politician. Trump got into politics after he made his billions of dollars in the business sector and real estate. And so, and Trump doesn't even take money for, he's never taken any money from being president. His net worth went down when he served as president the first time in 2017. And so he's the opposite of what's going on in Washington. And, you know, that doesn't even look at how much money Joe Biden, a career politician, has made on his salary, how much money Barack Obama has made, how much money Bill Clinton has made. You know, career politicians are supposed to be civil servants. They're not supposed to be in it for the money. But if you're a wolf in sheep's clothing, then you're going to fleece the flock, so to speak. And 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us that that's what false prophets do. They're in it for the money. And they are eaten up with the love of money. And as the Bible clearly says, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs, with many hungers. And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, false prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. We see that with politicians all the time. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. What does the scripture go on to say? Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Hey, the Lord does not see as man sees. Man sees the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my heart. He knows when we're lying to people. You know, Elizabeth Warren was confronted in the hearings that they had, or the interview that they had with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He threw it back in her face about taking money from Big Pharma, and she flat out said, I've never taken any money from Big Pharma. So I asked AI, Meta AI on Facebook, about Elizabeth Warren, did she take money from Big Pharma? and interesting back and forth you can have with AI. And he says, I asked the question, did Elizabeth Warren take money from Big Pharma? Elizabeth Warren has pledged not to take money from Big Pharma executives, among other industries. In fact, she vowed not to accept any contributions over $200 and just goes on to saying it's all grassroots. Oh, interesting. I said, well, Elon Musk said she did take money from them and it's documented. Oh, you're correct that Elon Musk accused Elizabeth Warren of taking money from Big Pharma, and there is documentation to support this claim. And I had to admit, okay, well, there is that. And I said, well, how much money? And he said, Elizabeth Warren has received substantial contributions from the pharmaceutical industry, with reports indicating she's taken in around $821,000, almost $822,000 from Big Pharma for the 2019-2020 election cycle. And then it goes on to say, additionally, it's been reported that Elizabeth Warren has accepted donations from the Sackler family. The Sackler family were the OxyContin people who, if you've ever done any research on the OxyContin drug, it just destroyed so many families, so many lives, and they lied through their teeth. I think they paid a fine of $6 billion for their lies. It's been reported that Warren has accepted donations from the Sackler family, who have been sued for their role in the opioid crisis, and she has received a total of $5.2 million from Big Pharma since 2020. Well, good night. You know, she just lies through her teeth. Now, when you catch somebody lying through his or her teeth, then don't believe them anymore. That's the problem with lying. Debbie and I used to tell our girls that when they were little. Listen, we can handle anything except lying, because if you start lying, then we don't believe anything that you say. We start to question anything coming out of your mouth, because you're telling us by your actions and by your words that you are willing to lie. And so I've told the church this before, that listen, I have enough stuff in my life that that I don't want to add lying to the mix. You know, lying is a different kind of sin. You know, when you talk about sins like the lust of the flesh, sins related to anger, sins related to worry and fear, where we're not trusting God. You know, worry is a sin. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing. Well, if you're worried about stuff, you're not doing what the Lord commands. And those things can be really strong battles within, dealing with bitterness, bitter feelings because somebody hurt you. That can be a really difficult struggle. Lying is not like that. Lying is something that you do that is not something bubbling up within you. You know, I mean, here you have a guy and he's really struggling with lust, the lust of the flesh. And he's battling, and he's got buddies that help him with this, and he's got safeguards to help him, let's say, in the area of pornography or what have you, and he is fighting the good fight. Lying doesn't come at you like that. You're never thinking, well, it's like somebody quitting smoking and they're having a nicotine fit. You're never having a lying fit. Like, I just got to lie to somebody. I don't know if I can make it another 10 minutes unless I go lie. It's not like that. You choose to lie. And Elizabeth Warren chooses to lie. And once you lie, obviously, you know, there's a reason why Donald Trump calls her tongue-in-cheek Pocahontas, because she lied for so many years about being a Native American. She's not. And now she had to admit it because somebody made her take a blood test. But once it's exposed that you're lying, then we shouldn't believe anything that you say unless you own that, unless you say, hey, I lied about this, I was wrong, and I'm coming clean. Well, as it relates to FEMA, so the charge was made that FEMA's giving all this money to illegal aliens, and they kept saying, oh, no, that's not true, and Karine Jean-Pierre, that's not true. Well, here is a CNN interview with Laura Trump, October of 2024, on Hurricane Helene and FEMA.
The citizens in Western North Carolina are screaming for help, and it's having to come from local citizens. People from my hometown of Wilmington are driving across the state six hours to go to the mountains and help people.
It is bad.
It is the federal government.
It is bad there, but my question is about the misinformation, particularly the notion that they are moving money to migrants, undocumented migrants, which FEMA says flatly is not true. And if people are not getting correct information, then they can't go for assistance as they have been asked for. I just want to quickly play with Senator Tom Tillis.
Let me just stay for one second.
Go ahead.
You have migrants being housed in luxury hotels in New York City. We have paid so much money from our tax dollars into the crisis that didn't need to happen. We could redirect money to help people immediately on the ground in North Carolina.
But Laura, they're saying that they have
probably going to have a situation coming up in the next several days.
That's a separate tranche of money.
So FEMA was giving money to illegal aliens. The left doesn't like you to call them illegal aliens. You call them undocumented immigrants. Well, they're here illegally. They're illegal aliens. And so that is a good that's a good description of what they are. The undocumented immigrants is trying to soften things up. If you remember the old story about Abraham Lincoln, he asked a little boy one time, he said, "Hey, little boy, how many legs does a dog have?" And he said, "Four." And he said, "But yeah, what if you call his tail a leg? How many legs would he have then?" He said, "Well, then he'd have five." And he said, "No, he'd still have four. A tail is just a tail, no matter what you call it. A tail is still a tail. And an illegal immigrant is still an illegal immigrant, no matter what you call them. And we have these people that are just lying through their teeth. And what does the Lord say? You'll know them by their fruits." And listen, the worst lie that the devil tells people is he tells them they're okay just as they are. You know, it's one thing to believe the lies of a politician and lose money. It's another thing to believe the lies of the devil and lose your soul. And Jesus said this, right after he says, you'll know them by their fruits. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, what day? Judgment day, when they stand before the Lord. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? That means to preach in his name. And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. These are not Sunday morning bench warmers that said, Lord, Lord, we went to church at Christmas and Easter. Now, these are people that preached in his name, cast out demons in his name, performed miracles in his name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. You believed in another Jesus whom we have not preached. I told a friend of mine the other day who told me he doesn't believe in a God of judgment. His God is just all love and acceptance and grace. And I said, well, your God is not holy, holy, holy. Your God does not judge anything. That's not the God of the Bible. You've created a God out of your own imagination. It's kind of like the old light beer commercials from yesteryear. Tastes great, less filling. The only problem with a light beer God is he doesn't exist. And a God who doesn't exist can't save you. And so if you believe in a God who doesn't exist, a God out of your own imagination, you're going to die and go to hell. Depart from me, Jesus said, I never knew you. When we come back from the break, we'll be opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, give me a call right after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. We've been talking about the command in Scripture, do not be deceived. Four times in the New Testament, we read those words, do not be deceived. We can be deceived regarding who is enter heaven, who's going to enter heaven. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do not be deceived. The effeminate and the homosexual and the liars and the swindlers and the drunkards, the people who are living in open rebellion against God are not going to heaven. And how do we know that? It's because you will know them by their fruits. And if you look at your life and there's no evidence of Christianity in your life, then you got to say, hey, I must be deceived. So do not be deceived. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. People who are living like that, that's their lifestyle. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here's the good news. It goes on to say the very next verse, and such were some of you. You were living like that, but what happened? You turned to Christ. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Don't be deceived about heaven. Don't be deceived about bad company. You're hanging out with bad company. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be deceived like you can do that and it's not going to bother you. It will bother you. It will affect you. Don't be deceived thinking that you can sin and get away with it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, this he will also reap. And don't be deceived about sin, like sin is a minor thing. James chapter 1 says, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Death, do not be deceived, is the very next phrase, very next sentence after that. When lust is conceived, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, thinking that you can play around with sin. You can't. Sin is poison. Sin is, it's like, ordering a plate of cancer at the restaurant. It's going to cause serious problems in your life. And so we need to steer clear of sin. We need to fear sin like you would fear a rattlesnake in the coil rattling at you, and we need to see it the way the Lord sees it. Well, going to the phone lines, and we have Ray on the line from Louisiana. Ray, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Well, I heard what you said this morning. Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. That verse scares me to death.
Uh-huh.
Because there is sin in my life. I know it. I seem to can't overcome it. And to be totally honest, there's times I don't want to overcome it because I like it.
Right.
But it's sin. And
right.
I know that. God's word says it. And I am really struggling with my salvation.
Right.
I made a profession of faith on March 31st, 1988 at 4:26 p.m. It was my birthday. But there is sin in my life. And, Paul told the Romans, if you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16. But I still struggle with my salvation.
Right. Okay, well,
if I was to die now, would Jesus tell me, depart from me? I never, just like the list you just read off. This.
Right. Okay, so great question, Ray. So here's encouragement. So this is from a ex-profile called J.C. Ryle, who is a great theologian. He says this, some of you are depressed by your struggle with sin. Consider this, the fact that you have a struggle is evidence the Holy Spirit is motivating you to resist. The world has no struggle, they just indulge. But you have a fight because the Spirit of God is still working on you. The fact that you're concerned about this it should be encouragement that the Lord does live in your heart. We're not saved by good works, and we don't lose our salvation by bad works. It's not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. But now here's what I've found is in your striving against sin, and every Christian, I talked to Tom Askell about this yesterday, every Christian, pastor, deacon, singing in the choir, whatever, you're the Apostle Paul on down, Every Christian still struggles with sin, and there's still a battle with the flesh. And the difficulty in the Christian life is the Christian life is long. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, an ultra marathon. And in the marathon, we can get tired, and your flesh is still wanting to exert itself and take over. And so the issue of salvation has to do with knowing Jesus. How do we come to know him? By grace through faith. People who go outside of that, well, they're never going to come to know him. They may know about him, but they don't really know him. And so when we meet the Lord and we have put our faith and trust in Jesus and we've received him as Savior and King, he's not going to kick us out because he said, oh, wait a minute, Ray, you had this sin, you had that sin, you had this other sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the moment that we receive Christ in this life, our case is settled. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Lord is going to receive us. Now, obviously, we don't want to live in sin, and so we have to battle those things. And I agree with you. Every Christian can say, you know, with whatever the besetting sin is, whatever is that sin that trips us up, there are times that we like to do it. And because your flesh likes to do that. Hey, your flesh likes to gossip. Your flesh likes to lust. Your flesh likes to overeat. Your flesh likes to drink and get drunk and take the drugs and all that stuff. You don't like the aftermath of that, but while you're doing that, you enjoy it. That's Hebrews chapter 11 says Moses didn't choose to embark on the passing pleasures of sin. Sin does have pleasure in it, and that's why we do it. If every time we sinned, you take a sip of alcohol and you started vomiting for an hour, you wouldn't do that anymore. It would just be like, hey, I don't want to do this. But because Ecclesiastes 8:11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. So Ray, I would say this. I would say obviously you need to get some guys that can pray for you. You need to confess all that to the Lord. You need to just be honest and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this, and here's my problem. I like to do X, whatever X is, that sin that's in your life. And I know it's against you, and I know it's wrong. And so, God, help me here. And then to get a trusted brother that can be there for you, that can encourage you, can help you. And I would encourage you this way too, Ray, is you have to spend time in the Word of God. So how do we overcome? We overcome by faith. And how do we get faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But what I have found in my own life over all these years that I've been a Christian, when I'm struggling and failing in a particular sin area of my life, then I start to question, am I really saved? Do I really know him? The devil wants to get you doubting. He wants to get you hunched over like a big question mark on your own salvation rather than a big exclamation point knowing that you belong to him. 1 John is a great little book, 5 chapters, to encourage believers in their walk with the Lord and to help them to know for sure that they belong to him, that they know him. And listen, you know, you think about the prodigal son when he came to his senses and he said, my father's hired men. They have enough food to eat. They're not eating pig slop. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against your in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. But here's the thing. We don't become sons of God by worth. We become sons of God by birth, by the second birth, when we receive Christ and are born again. So, Ray, I would just encourage you in that way. Get things right with God and bring those before a trusted friend. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, James 5:16, and really build on that. And the Lord will bless you for that. But I appreciate you calling because I think there are lots of people that have that. Obviously, I think about a good friend of mine, Lonnie Binneker, who that scripture verse in Matthew 7 was the verse that God used to show him he had never been saved. And he prayed to receive Christ as a man in his late 60s, early 70s, and was baptized in our church and just a wonderful member of our church. But he wasn't saved. He was just religious. And that question has to be answered in every person's heart. Am I just religious going through the motions, or have I really surrendered my life to Christ? But I hope that's helpful, Ray.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, my brother. And hey, if you need any additional information, you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org. I'd be more than happy to visit with you. God bless you, brother. We have Jenny on the line from Kansas. Jenny, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. I'm calling about the White House Faith Office that has been, I guess, resurrected by President Trump. And the appointment of Paula White Kane, I've heard that she is associated with the prosperity gospel. And so since you were talking about deception today, I thought I would ask what you think about this.
Yeah, obviously that's a concern. It's hard to know what to say about that. Tom Askell and I were talking about that a little bit yesterday. You know, Trump has some good and godly people that he listens to. Robert Jeffress, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, has access to Donald Trump, and Franklin Graham has influence with Donald Trump. And so he has some good, solid voices there. Paula White is very health, wealth, prosperity. Not in my opinion, that's not the right person to put in charge. He likes her for whatever reason, and he had her kind of leading the charge last time, and then he's put her in charge of it this time. Paula, to my knowledge, you know, she does a lot of heretical things, but she's not one that embraces lies about the person of Jesus or the cross and the empty tomb, nothing like that. So we would disagree on a lot of things, but I would need to do more of a deep dive into her theology as far as what she believes about salvation and atonement and the person and work of Christ, those kinds of things. To my knowledge, she's not off base there. But yeah, that's a concern. And, you know, I do think Donald Trump is an enigma in some ways, because he seems to have a good grasp on law and order and right and wrong as it relates to government, but not a good grasp on spiritual things as to, you know, what is true north and what is deviating, you know, to the left or to the right. So that would be my comment on that, Jenny.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We have Mark in Texas on the line. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. First of all, I really appreciate that you tackle political issues, which I think is very important in educating the public. Anyway, yes, the other day I called, but I was cut off by the time. I was going to comment about your discussion of the U.S. aid money. Mm-hmm. In the Philippines, we are a recipient.
Yes.
But when this news broke out that President Trump was trying to cut funding that were not necessary, mm-hmm. many people actually commented that we really should not be depending on dole out. We should be trying to be independent. And number two, the overwhelming consensus was we should not be getting it anyway, because all the politicians are the only ones benefiting from them.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to share that with you.
Yeah, a really good point, Mark. I think that's this struggle too. You know, you can say, well, this is given in good faith to these people to do this work, but then the people are corrupt and they take the money and they use it for however they want to use it. And it doesn't seem to be good accounting for how did you use that. You know, we've given all this money to Ukraine, and Zelensky says, well, he can't account for a lot of this. I never got this money. It's like, okay, how do you have these big gaps, these big holes where you have, millions and millions and millions of dollars that nobody can account for? I saw an interview that Jon Stewart did with somebody that was heading up one of these governmental agencies, and she said, well, that doesn't mean there's corruption. He said, well, what are we supposed to think? you know, you get all this money and you can't account for $10 million, $20 million, $50 million or whatever. The only thing that people can figure is that there is graft, there's corruption, there is waste going on. Because, you know, maybe losing sight of $1,000 can be overlooked. Losing sight of $10 million is a totally different deal. So I appreciate that comment, Mark. Sorry, Veronica, we didn't get to you or Greg. But please, if you need to connect with me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, love to connect with you. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's a blessing to get to share with you every morning on American Family Radio. So we always like to close out the broadcast with two words, shine and share. Shine is how you live. Share is what comes out of your mouth. The Lord has called you and me to be His witnesses, and let's do just that. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.